Good morning, Glenshaw Valley. It's great to have you here today on this special day. Today we have our good friend, Reverend Tom Clifton and his wife, Audrey, who are back with us today. So it's great to have such good friends come back. We love to see them every time. A few announcements today. So a reminder that we have our annual family picnic in Porstro coming up on August 27th. If you can sign up on the back table, if you're going to make reservations, there's going to be a sign-up sheet to bring side dishes and gifts for the Chinese auction. There's your sheets in the pew. Please record your attendance for today. A couple others, announcements. One is, Reverend Wood this weekend closed successfully on his house, which is nice, so he's moving into his home in Oakmont. The other thing is that our church, Bell Tower Bell, had been quiet for, a month and a half, 2 months, because the rope had broke. And we want to thank Jim Teggy and his people for coming up and reattaching the rope. So we're no longer silent, and Jim can ring the bell again. Finally today, a few prayers for Mickey. She's having a hard time. She can't talk, so don't try and talk to her. She needs to save her voice. But be in prayer for Mickey that she gets well soon. With that, I turn over to Reverend Clifton.
one voice, one heart, let us confess to God our sins. Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, humbly we come to you asking for your forgiveness. Too often we find ourselves chasing after frivolous things, worrying about tomorrow, and acting as if the promises within your word aren't true. We place our trust in what we can touch and see, even though we know those things will not last. Give us faith and courage to put our hope and trust in you. You alone are God and provide everything we could ever need. Be glorified in our lives, we pray. Amen. Having voiced our confession, we now claim God's forgiveness. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel. For in Christ, we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Now let us confess what we believe.
We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And now greet those near you and around you who have come to worship with you.
Would the child like to come forward for the child chat this morning? We just have an overabundance of children running down the aisle. And you have a great imagination too. Okay, here's my question. See if you can answer this. You see a bunch of things around that God made, right? What can you see that God made?
You can see people, animals.
Okay.
Water.
Okay.
Land.
Harder question. What do you know exists because of God, but you might not be able to see it?
Air.
Air, can't see air. What else would you not be able to see? This is tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is like being back in school.
Yeah, wish I don't want to.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that later. Okay, so there's a lot of things that you don't see, okay, and that's where you have to count on your faith. So I picked these up, because you know me, I always have to spoil them. And I picked these up, and this is a turtle who's deep in the coral at the bottom of the ocean, who lives, you know, many years beyond us. And you don't see him, but you know he's down there because he's part of our ecosystem, which keeps our oceans and our environment nice. And then there's this little fish who's in here. And when the sun hits these, which is miraculous, when the sun hits these, it actually creates a way for those to keep moving. So they just keep moving constantly. But you don't see these animals all the time. You don't see the fish that are the real big ones. Like you don't always see a whale, and you don't see, you know, different sharks, and you don't see those turtles and the coral and all the things that are in the bottom of the ocean. But you know they're there, right? And you know they're there because you have faith that they're there. Well, it's the same thing with our Christ, our Lord. You don't see him. You know, you don't look around and go, oh, there he is, third pew back. You don't see him there. But he is around all the time, and you do know that because you have faith. Okay, so you have the faith in knowing that you can't see these guys necessarily, and you can't necessarily see Christ, but he's there every day. He's there in every way for you and I and everyone in this whole congregation, in this church. And more importantly, he's there for everybody else that's not in church today. And that's, you know, might be going to another church. He's there. So you don't have to see it to believe it. You have your faith to let you know that he's still there. Same with these guys. They're there. Our environment's doing okay. It's not great, but it's doing okay. But these guys are amazing. And just to know that they're there, even if you don't see them, gives you faith that the same thing is there with Christ, okay? So you want to hold hands? We'll say a prayer. Okay. Father God, I thank you today for Maddie being here. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to share something important with her and with my congregation. I love to have the opportunity to speak with everyone here, not just the kids, but everyone in our church. And I hope you all are able to take that same message home. Because he isn't within sight, because you can't reach out and touch him, doesn't mean that he's not in our lives. He moves through us every day, each and every one of us. And I ask that you continue to do that, Jesus, because you are so amazing. In Jesus' the most precious name, amen. Okay, go ahead and take those guys. All right? All right.
Broken and shattered.
is not large, but it's wonderful. Thank you. Our elder will come and share with us concerns for prayer today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a praise request from Penny Irby. If he is asked, he will follow through. Be all praise goes to him. Another prayer request from Penny Irby for Tracy. Test results to come in soon, August 4th. If not a good outcome, prayers for acceptance. I have a praise request from Suzanne Connor. Oh, I think it was filled out on the wrong side, sorry. It's for the Cassidy family. Jack Cassidy died last week in Erie in a motorcycle accident. So prayers for the family. And this is a prayer request for Nancy Putman. She has a tumor that metastasized, I'm not sure what that is, be able to use legs any longer, will not be able to use legs any longer. So prayers for Nancy Putman.
Let's join together in singing our hymn of meditation, number 43. You've heard the prayer concerns for this day from our elder. And then here on the pulpit, an announcement that Heather Perman, one of our members, has a prayer request for us. She has a dear friend named Betty, whose son died in May, and a daughter. Well, let me read that. She has a dear friend named Betty, whose son died in May, and now she is beside to her daughter, who is seriously ill, beside herself. And that's from Dave Wood. And then we remember Paul in rehab, and we remember Lorraine Kelly. Yes.
Her mind got missed somehow, but it's a friend of ours, Kathy. He's had an open heart surgery.
Kathy. That must have been the one I missed here, yes. Kathy having open heart surgery. I think I have that here. But maybe not. Okay. So, yes, I do have that. Thank you. Kathy having open heart surgery this week. Well, that's quite a list, isn't it? Those who have lost loved ones, those who are awaiting tests, those who are anticipating surgery, those who are grieving with broken hearts. Let's join together in prayer, and I know that during the silence that I will offer you, if you would remember these people especially today. Let us pray. Creator God, we give you thanks today for the mystery and wonder of our lives. All around us is your beautiful world. Wherever we look, there is glory and wonder. We see your hand and the beauty of your creation. And we are so thankful for a lovely world that you've given us to inhabit for these days. We thank you for the blessing and gift and mystery of the faith that is ours. When we are fearful, you are there. When we are confused, you bring light and insight to help us through. When we place our trust in you, we are always answered. Your presence is always there. So we give you thanks for your wonders and your blessings and your goodness. And we ask now that you will guide us every step of our lives from this moment on. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to honor all of our friendships and relationships with love and forgiveness and kindness. Help us to be understanding of those whose lives are different from us. For whatever reason, different from birth, different from culture, different from religion that is ours, whatever. Remind us today that you've called us to be faithful and loving to everyone, regardless of where they come from or what they look like or what language in worship they might use. We have on our hearts today the names that have been presented here in worship. So many deep needs. Give blessing to those who grieve. Give healing to those who are facing surgery or in rehab or whatever challenge of body and mind might be being faced today. May your healing presence be with them, and we offer in the silence now our prayer for them. Oh God, we trust in your power to be present with all who suffer. We trust in your Spirit's power to bring comfort and faith and strength wherever it is needed. And we give you our lives again today. We are yours, body and soul. We belong to no other. And so we recommit ourselves once again to your presence, love, grace, and purpose for us. We bring you our prayers in the name of Christ, who taught his followers in prayer to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us worship God as we bring our gifts.
Isn't it wonderful that God made us all seeds, and we're on this earth to replenish and show the word of his doings? Today I'm going to read to you from Matthew 13, 24 through 30 and 36 through 43. And he put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seeds in this field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seeds in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slave said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds, you will uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into the barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, Explain us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seeds is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, and the weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels.
Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect all of his kingdom, all causes of sin and evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine on like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. So is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Oh God, may the word that is spoken and received this day in this place be your word for us today. Amen. Well, now let's get one thing straight. Okay? Let's get one thing straight. The parable of the weeds and the wheat that you have just heard does not mean that we go out and abolish the Shaler Police Department. It does not mean that we throw the keys away to all of the jails and prisons and let everybody who wants to do bad things just go around doing what they want to do, terrorizing us all. You got that? It doesn't mean that. Actually, if you want to look at that other side, you can read Romans chapter 13, and it addresses that problem, and it says there that God has ordained and instituted government, the state. And when the state acts justly, it's doing God's will, punishing evildoers. So there is a role for the police department, and we need jails. And all of this, it's part of God's design. Martin Luther picked up that theme and said, and I apologize for any of you who are left-handed. This is the way Luther said it, not me. He said, this is the left hand of God. God controlling and guiding, blessing and renewing the world, allowing and providing government. And then Luther said, and the right hand of God is God guiding and blessing and controlling the faithful people of God, the church and God's people. So God has both a right hand and a left hand. So you see, the parable that we read today does not mean that we abolish the Shaler Police Department. But what does it mean? Well, it leaves us with a challenge and a problem. You see, not all evil is criminal, right? There is a lot of evil in the world that is not criminal. There are a lot of weeds in the world. A lot of weeds. And the parable lifts up for us today, how do we live in this world that is full of weeds? And so Jesus gives us this intriguing parable. It's given to us in the 13th chapter of Matthew. And if you read before this parable is given, it was also the lectionary reading for last Sunday. It was the parable of the sower, the farmer who goes out and sows, and some of the seed falls on the path, and some falls on the rocky ground, and some falls and so forth, and the birds and the thorns and all that. And as soon as he's given the parable, as soon as they have an opportunity, the disciples come up to Jesus and say, why don't you just make it plain? You speak to us in these parables. Why don't you just tell us? Give us some rules. Break it down so that we can understand it. And so Jesus gives the parable again and interprets it to them. Immediately after that parable is over, Matthew has Jesus giving another parable. Immediately. And it's the parable of the weeds and the wheat. I'm using my imagination here. I'm imagining that as soon as Jesus starts giving the parable, the disciples start rolling their eyes. Oh, gosh. There he goes again. Giving us another parable. We can't understand the other parable. He's giving us another one. And so as soon as he's finished giving it, they go back into the house. And what do the disciples do? They're not very bright. They're sort of like us. You know, they have to have it spelled out, right? As soon as they go back in the house, one of the disciples says, explain. We don't get it. And so Jesus, in essence, repeats the parable again. But this time, he gives explanation to it. And it goes something like this. A farmer goes out. The farmer is the Son of Man. And the farmer throws the good seed into the field. The field is the world. And that night, while everyone is sleeping, the enemy, the devil, goes out and throws... Well, it's actually, technically, it's darnel. It's seeds that are weeds into the very field that has already been sown with the good seed. And then the plantings come up. Now, here's the thing. The darnel, the weeds, and the wheat look exactly the same. You can't tell the difference. Nobody can tell the difference. Until when the wheat begins to have grain on it, the weight of the grain begins to move the wheat down. You see my finger? And the darnel has no grain. And it stands up straight. And so now the servants see this. And they go to the owner, to the farmer. And they say to him, we don't know how this happened, but the field is full of weeds. Do you want us to go out and pull up the weeds? They really are kind of stupid. I mean, they're really dumb. They should have known that once the darnel sends its roots into the ground, it will wind those roots around the wheat. And if you try to pull out a weed, you will pull out the wheat. And so Jesus says, no. Don't do that. Let them grow together for now. So that's where we are, aren't we? We live in a world, a community, among people, and there are weeds among us. This past week, I was looking at the news. I noticed an interesting story. In Saudi Arabia, a young woman was videoed. She allowed herself to be videoed. Did you see this story? She was allowed herself to be videoed. I watched it on the internet. It was only about 10 seconds long. In Saudi Arabia, she was wearing a mini skirt. Well, not only that, she was wearing a midriff. I mean, there was space here, okay? And this is Saudi Arabia. She was arrested. And the outcry all across the world was such that she was released. But what I found most interesting was they have a group of people that watch out for people like this. Do you know what it's called? The Committee for the Promotion of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice. Now, wouldn't it be fun to be on that committee? Just go around looking for weeds, and wherever you find them, you get them. Arrest them. We had an experiment in this country in the 19th century, America. Have you ever been to Old Economy up the road? Back in the 19th century in America, there were about 80 utopian communities that were established. The Shakers, the Harmonists, all these. Some of them were religious, some of them were secular, some of them you couldn't marry, some you had multiple marriages. That all kinds of these groups, these utopian groups all over the United States. The Shakers, they're still alive. There are two left up in Maine at the first of the year. Two left. I don't think they're going to last very long. They'll all be gone. Each one of them had a program, an idea. We're going to be able to form a perfect community. And there won't be any weeds. But guess what? There are always weeds. Communism has been the perfect example of the secular political attempt to form a utopian society. As communism was designed by its founders, the idea was that everybody was going to have everything that they needed. And in this new world that was coming, the state would wither away. That's pure communism. You won't even have the need for jails or prisons or trials or judges. Everybody is going to be so happy. The state will just wither away. We'll all have all that we need, and there won't be any weeds. And what a colossal failure communism has been. NPR Radio this past week gave me another story. A book review about a woman in England. Her name is Rebecca Stott, and she has written a book entitled In the Days of Rain. In the Days of Rain. And it was her personal story of having grown up in a family in England that was a part of the Exclusive Brethren, a shoot, offshoot of the Plymouth Brethren. I know something of this group because my wife married someone from England, and I have friends who were in this cult no longer. In the 1950s, an American by the name of Jim Taylor went over and joined the Exclusive Brethren, and they became even more strict than ever. You were told who you could talk to, who you could not talk to. You could not have a wristwatch. All of these rules. You could not watch television. You couldn't have a radio. You couldn't read literature. And if you keep all of these rules, what? There won't be any weeds. She talks about how her family got caught up in that and how they escaped from that. And she talks in her book about the fallout. You know, when someone comes to your house and knocks on the door and makes you sit down in a chair and interviews you to find out where the weeds are, and then says, your family can't talk to you now for 3 months, and you can't talk to your family. Or if you do something bad and they see weeds in your life and they cut you off from the group you're no longer in, your family can never talk to you again. Rebecca Stott talks about the fallout, the breakdowns, the suicides, and the fact that her whole family suffers to this day from PTSD, just like someone in a war. How do we live in a world where there are weeds? Jesus gives this parable. But like a lot of what Jesus says, and like a lot of the parables, it's a picture. It's a vision that we take with us. And it doesn't give us all the answers. My goodness, if the Bible could just give us every answer, if it just had a rule for every conceivable situation, it would be easy for us, wouldn't it? We just open up the book and there would be a rule, no discussion. It would all be black and white. But our faith isn't like that. We are given visions and pictures. And we have to use prayer and study and counsel to try to figure out how to live this life faithfully with God. That's why we're here. We can't do it by ourselves. We need the help and support and love and counsel and wisdom of each other to understand what it means to be a person of faith. But what this parable does do, it makes us pretty clear, makes it pretty clear that we have no business pulling out the weeds. Tragically, people still try. People have this need sometimes to purify the church, to purify the community, to purify the relationships. And so they censor each other, or they cut themselves off, they separate from one another. I think the parable is clear. We don't pull out the weeds. Because when we try, it's always a disaster. Always. I have this kind of dream that I go to heaven. And when I get to heaven, I meet Joe. And I go up to Joe and I say, Joe, what are you doing here? I thought you were on the other team. And Joe looks at me and says, you're surprised that I'm here. You have no idea how astounded I am that you're here. We all have weeds inside us. We don't see them all, but they're there. The Bible is clear about this. We don't pull out the weeds in the field, but we try the best we can to pull the weeds out of our own lives. That's where we do the work. Not making you better, but making me better. And then Jesus says, someday the field will be harvested. The angels will be sent. The harvest will be made. The weeds will be destroyed. I don't know how that works. I just know that God will make sure it's just. That's all I know. And then he says, but the wheat, Jesus puts it in these words. I'm talking about you now, so listen carefully. I'm talking about every one of you. This is where you're headed. Okay? Jesus says, are you listening? Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom. That's where you're headed. That's the end of this journey. The righteous. Well, some of you shine right now. I mean, I just love coming here because you just shine. But that's nothing. You're going to shine like the sun. Part of God's harvest. So what are we left with? Well, you don't have to worry about the weeds. There's a lot you can do and God calls us to do. So we get busy with what we're supposed to do. How we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to work and how we're supposed to sing and how we're supposed to pray. Actually, I've never sung in a pulpit. In over 40 years, I've never sung. Okay? This is a first. This is a first. You're my maiden voyage, okay? And the choir will never ask me to join them. Mickey, okay? We sang a song in church where I go on most Sundays a few weeks ago. And it went like this. I'm going to live so God can use me. Any place, Lord, anytime. I'm going to work so God can use me. Any place, Lord. Anytime. I'm going to pray so God can use me. Any place, Lord. Anytime. I'm going to pray so God can use me. Any place, Lord, any time. I'm going to sing so God can use me. Any place, Lord, any time. I'm going to sing so God can use me. Any place, Lord, any time. I know I was terrible, but you were nice. You were nice. So, you get it, right? You get it, right? Forget about the weeds. You've got so much to do. Live, work, pray, sing. And the end of all of that will be that you will shine like the sun. And if you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The word having been preached and proclaimed among us, God of the fertile fields is our hymn. Number 714, we stand together if we're able to sing. And doesn't say that there's a blessing or a prayer, but we'll have one. We'll send you out. And so I send you out today to be good seed, to bear fruit. As the hymn said here, no task too small. Do the small thing. Write a letter. Give a smile. Say hello, cut somebody's grass, be God's gift, presence, and love in some small, wonderful way, wherever you are. And you will shine. And someday you will shine like the sun. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, strength, power, and fellowship, comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen. Amen.